Wow, that's probably the best applause I'm ever going to get. I might just have to bask in that room. Thank you. I'm just going to start and end with somebody else's words, words far more eloquent than I could be. I'm going to start with some words from Juan Ramon Jimenez. I have a feeling that my boat has struck down there in the depths against a great thing, and nothing happens. Nothing. Silence. Waves. Nothing happens. Or has everything happened? And we are standing now, quietly, in the new life. So, 3 months ago, I walked up a mountain. And I walked up a mountain with a water bottle and some very good friends and some women who were to become very good friends. And there was something very strong about walking the land, walking on that mountain, unencumbered, with no bag, letting go of my mental baggage, letting go of my worldly concerns, and just making that journey. Making that journey, it somehow put me in connection with the footsteps of the Buddha and how maybe he just walked the land unencumbered. Of course, it was a symbolical going forth. Symbolic going forth. Because I was pretty confident that my clothes would arrive at the place that I was going to arrive. And I was pretty confident that our directions would get us to the place that we would arrive. But there was something nonetheless very strong about just trusting, actually, that all that was going to happen. And if it didn't happen, I would meet whatever did. So, yeah, entering that mythic realm, that realm of mystery, having some idea that perhaps I would be ordained, but really not knowing much more of what was going to happen during the next 3 months. Some of what happened was being in very direct contact with the elements. I was never uncomfortable. We were very well looked after and we were very comfortable. But we were allowed to live out to the edges of our experience in the environment. I slept outside in a tent. I wasn't brave enough to sleep outside. I slept outside in a tent for about 2 of the 3 months. And just something about being able to be in the elements, being in the cold, being in the heat, being in the rain, being in the wind, and not needing to change that experience, just being allowed to engage with that experience of just being in the elements was very strong and very supportive of our practice. We were also supported to live very lightly on the land. So the retreat centre is set up in such a way that we could live very, very simply. It's completely off the grid, so power is solar, heating is wood-burning stoves. We didn't grow our own food, although there was some lettuce growing due to one of the fantastic team members. But Yeah, the support community and the team, just allowed us to live in a very simple and very very direct and light way. Something about really valuing our resources, the visibility of what we were using, meant that we were able to recognise the preciousness of our resources. There was something really lovely for me about having a wash outside in 6 inches of cold water, and then using that water to wash my clothes, and then using that water to water a plant, which, yeah, I liked a lot. I'm not sure how that's going to go down now I'm home, but we'll see. I've got my bucket ready. So, yeah, going forth was a big element of the retreat and of our journey. Renunciation, I actually didn't feel like I was giving up very much. I thought I would miss music a lot more than I did. But, yeah, we had everything we needed, and I never felt like I was lacking for anything. A specific sort of going forth for me was from that kind of low level, constantly fretting about my appearance, which actually was very easy. There was a very small mirror that wasn't quite at the right height, so I didn't need to look at it. My hair, like I had cut my hair the day after we got there. It was just very easy actually not to be concerned. I can feel that creeping back in a bit now. I'm like, do I grow it? Do I keep it short? But I'm trying to keep that at arm's length. So yeah, we were able really to just completely go forth from organising, from planning, from decision making, from all those things that take up a lot of energy. And we were able just to live the good Dharma life. In the company of our cherished Dharma sisters. And that was very, very precious. Precious spiritual friends. Kind of two tiers almost. So the team of five Dharmacharinis who committed 3 months of their life to us and to our journey, who supported us, who guided us, who taught us, who inspired us, who were the order for us for those 3 months, and who guided us in so skillfully and kindly and generously. They really exemplified the altruistic dimension of the order. Is that my time? In a really inspiring way. And then the 12 extraordinary women who I was ordained with, two of whom you will meet very shortly. And of course we all had to make the journey on our own. Only I could say yes. In the ordination ceremony, only I could say, yes, I am truly going for refuge to the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha. But within that solo journey, the truth of conditionality and interdependence bears out that we're also inextricably linked with each other. And none of us could make that solo journey without the others. So spiritual friendship, that's been my experience actually every step along the way, from Mitra study to going for refuge groups to supporting classes and teams to working in team-based right livelihood to my community. those friendships that are rooted in the Dharma and going for refuge, that manifest as compassion, as generosity, as kindness, as encouragement, as companionship, that allow us all just to flower in response to each other and in harmony with each other and indeed in the world. So my name, Bodhipakshini, she who has the wings of enlightenment. In the telling of the name in the private ordination, there was, I feel like I gasped, and I certainly cried. Something happened in that moment, in that telling of the name, something reminiscent of the words of Juan Ramon Jimenez, a feeling that something really big just happened, but I didn't quite know what it was. And as I've reflected on it, I feel I was given the gift of no self, the gift of just a glimpse of what it might be not to be attached to some idea that I have or that I am a self, that there's something fixed and unchanging. Something very, very strong and very unexpected in that moment of receiving a new name. The teaching of the name, well, I have no idea what it means. I don't feel like my old name is me anymore. I don't really recognise that name as me anymore. And I'm not quite sure who Bodhipakshini is. But there's something feels very creative about being in that gap. And I feel if I can stay in that gap and just stay with the not knowing, then maybe that is the teaching of the name. There's also something quite kind of worldly about not being precious. I've gone from a name of one syllable and two letters to a name of five syllables and 12 letters. And yeah, you just can't be precious. People will mispronounce it. I'll mispronounce it. They'll spell it wrong. They'll say all sorts of things. And that's really fine. And there's something really lovely about just holding that lightly. It's, you know, what's in a name? It's not personal, is it? So, yeah, something about just really staying open to the possibility and the potential. Maybe there's something about learning how to use the wings to dive into the sky or to soar into the ocean of the Dharma. So I'm just going to finish with a couple of lines from the Gandavyuha Puja, Rejoicing in the Merits of Spiritual Friends. It is hard to find, even in hundreds of lifetimes, such friends as these I have now met. I will attend my friends as a servant. Thank you.